Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Happy Thursday to you, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Let's Talk, and I'm your host, Mr. Talk. How y'all doing out there today? It's Thursday. Hey, the cold weather has gone on its merry way, so y'all know I'm extra happy today, and that's what I'm talking about because I love the heat, man. So all you out there, all the rest of you out there that may be still suffering through the heat, the cold, and the snow and all that, hey, it's going to soon pass. It shall pass, okay? So hang in there. Be safe. Stay out of the cold. Yes. I just had to get that out there. Y'all know how it is. Yeah, we back today. No technical difficulties for the most part. And, hey, we ready to rock and roll. Man, we got another show just playing for you today that is outstanding. And the name of the show, title of the show today is Spies Among Us. And, wow. When you just read those three words alone, I know your minds are just going everywhere. Like, what do you mean, Mr. Talk? What do you mean, spies among us? You know, and you know, that just makes it, just keeps it a little general. But you know what? We gonna bring it down a little bit and put some meat on the bones, though, person, as you would say. All right, so with this topic, spies among us, you know, here's the main thing we want to find out about spies among us, and that is, what is the purpose? Huh? What is the purpose? Why are we doing this? Why are we bringing up this topic? And then can we learn anything? Can we learn, and have we learned anything? Because all throughout history, there have been examples of spies being among us, you know, feeding information back to the enemy. But then, it's just not one group of people. You know, this just has, now, a lot of times when we talk on the show, we kind of pigeonhole ourselves into the African-American, But we're good. We're good. We're gonna be working on we're gonna be working on that concept right there. What is the purpose, and can we learn, and have we learned anything from the spies being among us? So that's what we'll be talking about today. Now, okay, Mr. Talk, that font is hard as hell to read. I can read it just fine, Glack. I can read it just fine. Dun, 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 dun. But, okay, I'll make sure I keep it in manuscript. But so that's the topic today, and we're going to be having us some fun, all right? Now, on this other end, let me bring this young lady in that is beautiful and intelligent. And y'all don't realize the conversations me and her have prior to the show some days. I just don't know. We do a show within before the show. You know, and so that's what's going on. So, but we have such a wonderful relationship, and I love her to death. So without further ado, man, let me bring my beautiful co-host in, Sister Ngoni. Oh. All right, co-host, how you doing today?
I'm great, and how are you today, Eric?
I'm doing wonderful. You have to call me Let's Talk. But anyway.
I got a little tongue-tied there.
Oh, okay. Don't feel bad. I do it all the time. My tongue get tired. My brain get tired. Sometimes I'm just tired. Tired. And tired. Oh,
dude.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. So, briefly, give me your thoughts on our topic, you know, as per what we talked about earlier, our show before the show.
Well, I think the topic is very exciting, depending on how we approach it, like you said. And I think you'll see the quote of the day speaks a little bit more deeply into that, so I don't want to say too much because then it'll ruin the quote of the day.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. That sounds great. Yeah, I think we're going to get a little deep today. All right, y'all. We want to give a shout out to those in the chat room already. We got Ava, Indiana, better known as Joe, the Goat Man from Montana. And then we got East Coast Galactic Scientist, guest 1206, Michelle Layton. Hey, girl, I ain't seen you in a long time. And, of course, we got Yolanda Blocker all in the chat room. Welcome to the show, y'all, and I hope you enjoy it. I know I am. So, with that being said, I guess we need to go on and knock this music out, huh? Yeah, let's do the music. I mean, this music, man, I'm telling y'all, this music is nice and easy, but it's good. It is good, but it's nice and mellow. It's old school, but yet it gets to the point. All right. So without a doubt, here is your Thursday music mix.
When she was my girl. look at you, and it was plain to see you were my destiny.
Y'all enjoyed it. I told you it was something mellow and easy going. Ah! And you had the spinners. Then came you. Then we had the Four Tops when she was my girl. And then you had Marvin and Tammy. Ha ha! You are all I need to get by. And then the last song, I know I wanted to hear it. Oh, the Fifth Dimension, Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In. Now, I'm telling you, I should have got y'all ready. And yes, I do remember 45s and LPs, and yes, I did spin them and scratch a little bit and all that good stuff. Yes, I did. So for those in the chat room that's just wondering, and I'm not that old. Thank you. Anyway, oh, Lord, I tell you, I love y'all. Now, if you're out there just listening, you want to be a part of the conversation today, no problem. Just give a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or you can join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. All right? So those are all the ways you can actually be a part, participate in the show. Now. Here we go again. The rules of the show. And you know what? That's a shame that I had to go back once again and start saying the rules. But I'm going to put them on out there. Here's the rule. Rule number one. We encourage everyone to call in and share your opinion on the show. We do not have a problem with listening to anything you have to say as far as your opinion. We do, however, do not like it when you talk over each other, okay? Don't be talking over each other, because even though you're making a point, the other person making point, and they could be valid points. But the problem is, everybody talking all over, it just sounds like wah, 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 wah. And nobody hears anything, okay? So, you know, let's make it clear. If you call in, be courteous to the other callers. Respect their airtime, because you want your airtime, okay? Now, by some rule, this doesn't, by some form of faction, this doesn't happen the correct way, I will institute a three-minute rule. And yes, y'all, I do have a three-minute rule. The old crew know about it. All right, so there. No use of the B's, the hoes, the N's, none of that. No derogatory terms at all. Okay, we're not playing that. New rule, we're not playing that. And if by chance you do use the N-word, you're going to hear this. And it ain't funny. And depending on how I'm feeling about the way you used it, you may be saying that on your way out back on the sideline and to reappear tomorrow. Okay? So that's all I'm going to say. But let me emphasize this again. Now, everybody who calls into the show, they know how I feel about the N-word. Okay? I don't like it. I don't say it. I don't watch anything that say it. I don't listen to anything that has it in it. So I don't allow it on my show. Okay, I'm just telling you. So if you feel so freely that you can't have a conversation without using that word, you may not want to call in. And don't go in my chat room using it either, because I will kick you out the chat room just for that word. There's someone in the chat room to tell you. I don't mess around with that. Now, for those that say, well, Mr. Talk, that's just the word. Yeah, that's right. But this is just my show, and I don't want it used on my show. All right? Now, if you feel like you just got to use it, get your own show, and you say it 2,800 times if you want to. I don't care, but it's not being said on Let's Talk. All right. Now, those are the rules. You know, I hope everybody abides by them, because I get you. All right. So, anyway, co-host, you got anything you want to add to that before we get on with our quotes and the rest of the show?
How many times did you say they could say it on their show, Mr. Talk?
20 to 800 times, 8,000, I don't care. That's their show. Oh, yeah, well. You know, because we said, because the old listeners know, I used to get rules every day, and I really thought we had evolved to the point to where we didn't have to give the rules anymore. But I see we still have to give the rules out so everybody understand what's going on, you know, so
well,
it's all.
We've made a little progress. We don't argue as much as we used to,
mm-hmm.
And maybe we can graduate to getting the rules read once a week soon. How's that?
Okay, yeah, hopefully. hopefully.
You forgot to tell the people that they get a grace. Sometimes they get one grace. So they don't get shot. But if their grace is already used up, then they get shot, right?
There you go. That's it. And that depends on how I'm feeling and how they're using the word, you know. If they really using it as derogatory, even on their first time, they're going to get some bullet holes, I'm telling you. And depending on if my medication is working or not, they may get kicked out. So, hey, you have been warned, all right? So, with that being said, let's move on. Are you ready with the quote, my beautiful co-host?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, y'all. So, here we go with the quote of the day, and I hope y'all enjoy it, because I know it's going to be a good one. Here it is.
The importance of knowing your history. Historiography may function as propaganda, propaganda being an effort to persuade people to a point of view on an issue. History can be used to intimidate. However, if we don't know our history, or if we have made our history unconscious and therefore placed it out of awareness, that unconscious history becomes a source of unconscious motivation. Then why we behave the way we do becomes a puzzle. We're confused by our own behavior. If we want to know why we behave the way we do, then we must know our history. The unconscious must be made conscious. That's a quote from Professor Amos N. Wilson.
Amos N. Wilson.
Yeah, it was so long. It in two parts, so here's the other half.
Okay. Wow. Ooh, that is a long one, huh? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Historiography may function as propaganda, propaganda being an effort to persuade people to a point of view on an issue. History can be used to intimidate if we don't know our history, or if we have made our history unconscious and therefore placed it out of awareness. That unconscious history becomes a source of unconscious motivation. Then why we behave the way we do becomes a puzzle. We are confused by our own behavior. If we want to know why we behave the way we do, then we must know our history. All right. That's a good one there. I like that. I like that. Okay. And your take on that lengthy quote of the day?
Well, I chose that because of the topic that we're going to be discussing today.
Mm-hmm.
As you and I, you know, shared earlier, we can discuss things from different perspectives. And depending on what perspective we choose to look at it from depends on what we're going to get out of the discussion. There is something called a clear word, sight with understanding, and seeing beyond the physical, or the, you know, seeing beyond what's put in front of your face, you know, because everything that's put in front of your face, sometimes the people that put it in front of your face have a hidden agenda for it. Now, I'm not saying that there was a hidden agenda for this particular program, but I do know that programming is put in front of us all the time. So I think it's good if we look at it from different angles. That's where I was thinking.
Right. Okay. All right. And you know what? When you break it down like that, I'm in agreement with you. 250%, I am. And you know what, though? And that's the thing. A lot of times we fail to look at the root of things. You know, as you say, we take it a lot of times at face value. You know, and when I'm saying that, I think of the song by, who was that? The OJs? Yeah, Backstabbers. You know, and I that comes to mind because, like they say, they smiling in your face, telling you, okay, you're doing a good job, you need to do this. But behind closed doors, you know, they giving all your information to somebody that's out there to harm you. You know what I mean? So, or they just programming you, using it to program you to get you to do what they really want you to do. But that's like throwing a rock and hiding your hand, like the old folk used to say. So. That's good. I like that. I do. I like that. All right, y'all. So we ready? Are we ready to get into the topic today? Are we ready?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the question. In your view, what is the purpose of history from your perspective?
What is the purpose?
Yeah, the purpose. I'm stressing the word purpose.
Well, now. Purpose. What is the purpose of history? Now, that can be looked at a couple of ways. Now, the normal Joe say, well, what is history? And the normal Joe would say, well, that's that's what has happened that has been put down on paper for us to remember. Now, that's what normal Joe would say. My thing with history is it's there for us to learn from and not repeat. You know, learn from it and better ourselves, you know, remembering that our what happened in history, you know, the bad and the good, to take it and bring it with us and learn from it and either what that word we used earlier, better ourselves, or, you know, just better ourselves or our environment or our situation. That's the way I look at history personally. So I don't know if that's what you were looking for, but that's exactly what the way I look at history. I don't look at it, in other words, as, okay, it's history, it happened, oh, well, you know, all right, I know it. You know, but the thing is, if you don't learn from the history, then the present ain't worth nothing and you'll never get to the future. That's the way I look at it anyway. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's, you know, good points. And also you can take history and it can just be a feel-good history where you're all puffed up and you're not thinking below the surface of things. You see, things have meaning in, you know, there's meaning only if things are put in context.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, that's there's a way of looking at things where you're just looking at the surface and you're not really going below to ask questions, you know, that allow you to think beyond, you know, and to think with your imagination and to have vision beyond your history.
Mm-hmm.
One just remembers their history, and I think it's extremely important. I spent 5.5 years studying my history, you see, and I'm proud of that. But I think that one can get all puffed up and walk around thinking that, you know, that's it, just to feel good about yourself. To love yourself and feel good about yourself and take pride in who you are. But then I think it's important also, like you said, to utilize the knowledge of your history to understand your present reality. There's an old saying, those who do not learn from history shall repeat it.
Yes. That's a wonderful saying, because in some instances we are definitely repeating our history. I know some of y'all are like, what are you talking about? Yes, we are, y'all, believe it or not. You know, and here's the thing. Every day, you know, somewhere on the show, we're talking about the government spying on us, and, you know, how they listening to our phone calls and all that good stuff. And we act like it's something new. Well, y'all, guess what? It's nothing new. It is nothing new. It has been going on, for a long time. I mean, when I say a long time, I mean a long time. You know, there was even examples of W.E. Du Bois using his newspaper for propaganda for the government. Then you had the chairman of the NAACP. I'm talking about the 1920s now, and he later became the president of NAACP. He had the largest spy network there was for a long time during that time period. You know, and these weren't, you know, cloak and dagger individuals. You know, they were our own African-American brothers and sisters. You know what I thought about it. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and you know what? I think I'm going to start doing like you do, Sister Ngoni. You know, I'm a human being. So, you know, so, and you know, it was crazy. And what he had was the forerunner to the counterinsurgency program of the 60s. You know, so, I mean, it's crazy. And then, of course, we had the Mississippi Sovereign Committee, where they had ministers and high-profile politicians actually infiltrating the Freedom Riders and these civil rights groups, you know, to report back to them to help slow it or even stop the movement. So when I say spies among us, you know, that is crazy. And to answer, you know, the question was I asked earlier in the show was this, you know, what is the purpose? Why are we talking about this? Well, I just gave you some instances where it has been going on and it hasn't stopped. And can we learn anything from it? Can we learn anything from it? And when I say learn anything, can we learn anything and come up with a solution to try and get out of it? Stop this trend from continuing to go on. Because there's nothing like, except for like a big circle. It, you know, it goes round and round. Same thing going on, same thing going on. You know, okay, so can we do something to stop this? Can we?
Well, Eric, what you're describing goes back thousands of years. You can count, you know, I'm not advocating that it's a good thing. Don't misunderstand my words. I just want to point out that what you're talking about, when you ask the question, can we do anything to stop it, this goes back thousands and thousands of years. You know, and in my view, you know, it gets into a question of, what's the motivation for that? Well, the motivation for that is self-interest. So can you do anything to stop self-interest, Eric?
Can I do anything to stop self-interest? No.
Yes.
Depends on who's self-interest.
Look, what I'm pointing out, maybe I'm not being clear. In my view, what you're talking about now goes back thousands of years. It's nothing new, as you said earlier. You asked the question, is there anything we can do to stop this? So what I'm thinking is, I'm asking the question, is there anything any one person can do about someone or, you know, persons who choose to act in ways that are for their self-interest at the expense of others?
Okay,
I mean,
not one person. I mean, it'd be nice if that was the case, but no, not just one person.
Well, you know, there's been attempts to do something about that. Like if you look at some of the movements around the world, I mean, you know, some people have taken it upon themselves to kill people like that.
Mm.
But my question is, has that stopped it?
No, it
hasn't. It may have stopped individuals, but it hasn't stopped the you know, the act.
Right, or the move, yeah, or the agenda. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So yeah. Before we ask the question, can it be stopped, shouldn't we be asking the question about the cause?
Mm.
What is the cause of it?
Okay. Ah, I like that. I like that way of thinking. What is the cause? Now, see, that's another one of those deep issues that we'll have to really take a look at it and I guess we do need to start there. What is the cause? What is the cause? And before you do, let me bring Joe in. He's been waiting patiently. So let me bring him in, and then we continue this question. Starting right there, what is the cause? Welcome to the show, Joe. What's going on?
Hey, again, guy. The cause is our DNA. We're all born with self-interest. That's how we survive. It's part of the survival instinct. Now, to further on.
Hum. You got to hum.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
See if this will be better. I hope so. But to go further into the discussion, talking about the different degrees of altruism, you can mold, not altruism, but self-interest. Capitalism molds self-interest so that what I want has to come not at the expense of others, but complimenting others by giving them what they want. In other words, I have a product, I sell it, they buy it, I have their money, they've got the product, other people become entrepreneurs, and we all do it for our own self-interest. Now, when self-interest becomes too much, then you got the Rothschilds who want it all. So I'm just giving a very simple breakdown of that particular topic.
Well, I think that was a good point. And that's where I was coming from. When you look at the cause, of course, everyone has to have self-interest. But like you said and like I said, we're trying to ask what is the cause of self-interest at the expense of others.
Well, the cause, again, is the DNA. If we go unrestricted, have you ever seen kids? Kids get along with each other and kids fight with each other. They fight with the same people, the same kids that they get along with. part of our DNA. So,
well, I don't think we're all the same. I think that we have similarities, but we're not all the same. So I don't think it's a matter of DNA. You know, there's some scientists that have written books to try to indicate that certain groups of people are prone to violence because of their DNA, and I just don't accept that, Joe.
Well, you don't have to accept it, but and doesn't mean that the scientists are right. From my own observations, when you take a look at all the billions of the people who have been born on this world, who have died on this world, and the number of wars that we've had on this world, the common denominator is the DNA. Now, if you're going to talk about environment, who creates the environment? People do. And how do people create the environment? They have to have some kind of motivation to create that environment. It comes from our DNA.
Well, unfortunately, I think if you take that view, you are not really looking at history in a broad perspective because, you know, you're going to use the idea of war. You have to go beyond, before that time, and look at other cultures that were here prior to all these wars. And there was a time when there were cultures living on the earth in peace, in harmony with the earth. So, how did the DNA get changed?
The DNA didn't get changed.
Exactly.
No, I mean, we people can say we're living in a time where there's only some secluded wars over there. But no, there hasn't been a time when men and women and men and men and women and women have not been in conflict with one another. Now,
I didn't say there wasn't conflict, but we're talking about extremist aggression when you use the word war, I think. I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm giving my opinion on that. Yes, there's war. But there's also
continuous. When you say war, isn't that extreme aggression? We're not talking about conflict. All human beings have conflict. You know, we don't always agree with one another. You can call that conflict, but you said war, did you not?
Right. And there are and have
aggression
been right.
Somebody.
And those wars are continuous today. And I read somewhere that there's only been a few years throughout the history of mankind in which there may not have been what they would have considered wars. But they may have been internal conflicts. Why do we have conflicts of any type? Why isn't man and or women?
You're saying that it's DNA that causes war.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I'm saying, where are you starting your historical reference from? Because I pointed out there
from the beginning of time, from the time man came out of either the primordial ooze. Or he came out of the cave and started clubbing women with clubs, or he came out of the primordial ooze, there have always been conflicts. Conflicts between different
again,
tribes.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Please say that again.
There have always been conflicts, either between different tribes or even within the same tribes. Always conflict. Why is conflict an inevitability? Why can't men and women and men, women and women just get along?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question, but I just want to add that there have always been conflicts, and there have been cultures that have used clubs to beat themselves over the head with, but not all cultures have lived that way. That's the point I'm trying to make. So, therefore, I still have to disagree with you that it's about DNA.
Okay, but then again, how many...
In general, DNA in general.
How many of these cultures have actually existed, and for how long have they had peace of what type? Now, there have been some cultures that I've heard about somewhere in the South Pacific or something like that where they don't have wars. Okay, fine. Maybe they were without that particular type of strain of DNA within them, perhaps. But that would mean the DNA does cause conflict, but they were without it.
Oh, so are you referring to Michael Bradley, Iceman Inheritance, where he talks about the Neanderthal gene being extremely aggressive? Are you being specific, or are you speaking in general?
No, I'm speaking about DNA in general. I don't know about this guy.
Okay. Well, there are cultures like that have, according to historians, that existed for thousands of years. I'm sure they had conflicts. For instance, you had people that were nomadic that know, after agriculture came about, then there became conflict over land issues. So, yeah, you're right. We, as a human family, we've always had conflicts over one thing or another. But like I said, when you use the word war, that's something different. And there were cultures that had wars that were more like a game. There was no bloodletting.
Well, maybe so. Okay.
Okay, where are we going to go next with this?
Got me.
All right, in the chat room, I had muted myself. In the chat room, we got Yolanda that says, I don't think it has anything to do with DNA. It's a part of greed. I think that's what he said. Yeah. It's totally because of greed. That's what it was saying. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Or is it the desire to have power over others? Because when you say greed, we've had this discussion before. this is a tricky one, okay? Because greed makes you think about, okay, somebody wanting to have everybody has an apple, then there's going to be somebody come along want to have two apples, and they're going to figure out how to slice them and dice them and sell them to somebody else, right? Is that
right.
What you?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's it right there. I don't know where Joe goes.
Or is it?
I'm here.
We're kind of off the topic, though. We're off the topic of the Mississippi Spies. We kind of already got off the topic.
Yeah, well, we need to slide back over into it anyway. But go ahead and finish that point real fast, because we got Mr. Beasley waiting also. Hey. Okay, well, let me bring him in then. Joe, that hum is killing me. All right, Mr. Beasley,
okay,
welcome
let me see what
to
I
the show.
Yeah, I think Joe hit the nail on the head, and there's lots of evidence for that. When toddlers are playing, you have to teach toddlers to share. You have to say, no, share, it's not all yours. You have to teach children how to be civil with one another, you know? They want it all. This is mine. This is mine. If you, I don't know what history that Ngonya is talking about. There have been wars since ancient times. Man's been warring at each other. When you look at the story of the story of man, at least according to the Bible, the very first brothers, one killed the other one.
Okay.
Man's been evil towards one another since day one. You have to teach children to share. You have to force it upon them to share. Their natural instinct is, give me this. This is mine.
Well, Mr. Beasley, 5 minutes after they try to take something from somebody, they're laughing and playing with each other. Do we have to teach them because they watch
not
adult
always
behavior?
Not always. Not always.
Well,
sometimes there's retaliation. You take it from
me,
I'm going to punch you.
Let me see. Well, yeah, but
you. I don't know about this peaceful. Let me just finish. I don't know about this peaceful this peaceful man that exists. All I've seen,
well, you're taking my
word
context, Mr. Beasley, because I said that there's always been conflict. Joe and I were discussing the difference between war, as he was using the word, which I call extreme aggression and murder, versus conflict. I even gave an example about nomadic people and people that were agriculturalists and that they had conflict over land. So I've never suggested that man is some angel that has never had conflict.
You only
so what
have
I'm,
con- I'm, go ahead.
And as far as the children are concerned, I'll give you an example. Children, young children, anywhere from 5, 6 on up to 10, 12, 13 years old can be warring with each other. And if the parents don't get involved, they'll usually work it out. But if the parents get involved, they won't have anything to do with each other. The parents won't have anything to do with their parents ever again. Children seem to know how to work out their problems if they're left alone.
Maybe sometimes, not always. As far as the difference between conflict and war, yeah, there's always conflict. War is when one side stands up for themselves and the
well,
other side. Not, that's the difference. Okay.
Well,
so,
I was making
because if I take something from you and slap your sister and you don't do nothing about it, there ain't no more conflict and there damn sure ain't no war.
I was making a distinction between war and conflict as Joe was using it in our dialogue.
And war is
aggression. In order for you, you have to stand up for yourself. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, might makes right sometimes, and when the stronger force or the perceived stronger force takes action and the other side doesn't do anything about it, there is no war.
Well, the question we were asking was,
there's just a victor. I'm sorry, I don't know the original question. There's just a victor and a victim.
Well, the question we were asking was, what causes people to act in their own self-interest at the expense of others? That's why how we started off.
I'm just going to agree with Joe. That's just how people are built.
That's fine. What people?
That's just how people are built. That's just the way it is. You
okay,
know.
Hold on.
Okay.
All right. You know that, and just to say that it's the DNA. That's like using a cop out. You know what I mean? I mean, it's
exactly.
easy to blame everything on DNA, but Joe, everybody's not.
Everybody
like
has gotten into conflict. Everybody. Somebody's going to say, well, you can't generalize. How about 99% of everybody who was born on this planet has gotten into some kind of conflict because they provoked it? When you take a look at children, what do they do? That you can't just say it's environment. If you're a one-year-old kid, two-year-old kid, and the parents they don't even understand their native language yet except for mommy and daddy. But what they do understand is if their brothers and sisters' toys are around, they want to get them. Now, they put the hands on them. Now, the brother and sister wants to come along and take the toys back. There's a conflict. So it's not environment. DNA.
I don't know, but hold on. Let me bring. I have to disagree with that one, but let me bring Joe in. I mean Joe, Lord, Low in, and see what he has to add to it.
Joe,
but,
Low,
you know,
what's the difference?
big
difference.
No. Whatever. All right, Mr. Low, welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, all. How's everybody doing?
Shalom.
Shalom, brother.
Good. Hello. I'm glad to receive that greeting, especially from you, Esau. I'm enjoying Purim today.
That's not going. And I don't appreciate you calling me out of my name. I would appreciate
you're
you.
Not, excuse me. You're not Esau.
It's me.
I know who Esau is.
Well, don't you? I greeted you, and you responded to my greeting.
It's
I did.
Me.
I said thank. That
my name
cool.
is Ngoni.
I said Esau. Joe is the white person on here, so I was speaking to him specifically.
Okay. All right. Long
okay.
That that's...
Yeah.
All right. Can we get to the point now?
Yeah. Of course.
Yo.
My point is this. First, if there was any harm done, Sister Ngoni, I do apologize. Now, past that, if you're going to use the Bible as a reference, believe in it or not. Don't go and say, oh, well, the first two brothers, they... if you don't believe in it, don't use that for an example. Because
I
you
can
use
do what
it
I, why can't
today?
I use it as an example?
Because it's futile if you don't believe in it today, and tomorrow you use it for your basis. That's foolish.
Wait a minute. What the world? What was that?
I don't know.
All right.
Damn aliens.
But look. Let's get one thing straight now. You know, whether he believe it or not, if he want to use it, let him use it. I mean, everybody has free will. But wait a minute. Let me ask you this question, though.
Go ahead and make his point, his larger point, if it's okay.
I want to ask him this question, though, because I already know where his point was going with that one. I want him to answer this question. In the Bible, okay, and we're not going, spies or informants anywhere in the Bible that were used against the people?
Always.
As in, how can I say, the governments or whatever they called them back then were afraid enough to where they just had to put these people in there to, you know what was going on and to help bring them down?
Absolutely. You can even go to the the Egyptian rule, where they had put some of the Israelites over some of the Hebrews over the other ones as taskmasters. I mean, if you give me a job and you're not my people, you give me a job to be over my people, I'm going to look out for your best interest, right or wrong. If I live better than them and I have the ability to come before you and you give me more than they have and I'm in society a little bit more of status than they are, of course I'm going to look out for your best interests. So, yes, there's always been that. Hello? You're breaking up.
Underwater.
Hello?
Mr. Talk might have got dropped.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Talk was breaking up.
So you agree then, though, that for thousands of years we've had conflict in humanity, but
absolutely.
Yes, as we said
absolutely.
Earlier when we started off the conversation.
The question is
the cause. That's what we're trying to get down to.
Okay. Well, Mr. Talk wouldn't let me finish saying what I was saying,
but go ahead.
I was also going to say that. The reason he slew his brother is because of jealousy. And, you know, it all goes into covetousness. I mean, I want what you got. I like what you have.
Could we also say that it may be a lack of caring, really caring for each other?
Absolutely.
The first thing people want to say when we talk about these topics is the first thing they want to throw out is greed, because in this society we've been taught to see everything from a materialistic point of view. We very rarely talk about it from a spiritual perspective.
Right.
A religious perspective and spiritual perspective is different for me. I'm just letting you know it's different for me.
For me too.
So, but I agree with you, Brother Lowe, that see what you just pointed out from your biblical study. You pointed out something about envy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm glad Mr. Talk is out right now, and I hope I don't get muted. But like I was saying, I won't go and say, hey, the KKK, you know, they were great people. You know, they were looking out for their best interest today, and then tomorrow, oh, they were the scum of their. I'm not going to do that. So that's all I was asking the other caller, I'm not going to say his name, to not.
Well, you better say a name so we know who you're talking about. Don't be scared now. Don't half step.
Well, Mr. Lowe, I think that's a good point. But I think that it also should be pointed out also that, you see, it's not fair in my view, in my humble opinion, that if I can be humble, that you can't paint with a broad brush and just say, which Joe did, that it's just DNA, because we have examples of people writing books to try to denigrate other people that they may be envious of for whatever reason, that they have a propensity for violence or other things because of their DNA. So that's why I object to that reasoning.
I don't agree that it's DNA. I think it has to do with some part of it has to do with upbringing also.
Environment, in other words.
Yeah, absolutely. If you feel that you're entitled to have everything just because you want it, you'll get that from your parents because they'll have showed you.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Wait a minute, Mr. Beasley, just 1 second. At the expense of others is the key,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Beasley.
Look, well, how do you explain 2-3-year-olds playing with a group of blocks?
Well,
and
I can't.
And one of the 3-year-olds, I was asking Lowe. But how do you explain?
Okay, go ahead.
How do you explain 2-3-year-olds or 2-2-year-olds playing with a group of blocks, and one just takes all the blocks and say they mine?
Okay. Well, in that scenario, you will have an adult to regulate that.
Right. But so they weren't. So in that situation, and that situation is pretty common.
Well, I won't say it's pretty common because I have two nephews that are. 4 and 5, And as long as they have the exact same thing, no one wants to take anything and have all of it to themselves, to himself. So I can't just agree with that, man.
And in addition
if there's just one toy, oh, well, this is mine. No, it's mine. It's mine. Yeah, you're going to have that.
I would go further than say that it's common. I would say that it's the norm.
No, it's not, Ms. Beasley, because see, what you're doing is you're only looking at it from your cultural perspective. Let's look at it from a broader perspective. All children in the world don't act the same way because they're not raised in the same environment with the same
I'm saying the kids aren't taught this. They're not taught to want to have all the blocks themselves.
You're not addressing, Mr. Beasley, is that after the child wants to grab the toy from somebody else, a few minutes later, they'll be laughing and playing with each other if they're not interfered with or something different.
Sometimes.
In my view, people are taught to envy and hate and kill and do war, so forth. I don't think that's our nature. That's our condition.
Hmm.
Well,
I
the
think
DNA
some
mixed
nature,
in with the
I,
environment.
I agree
the environment and
are,
DNA mixed together.
Yo,
that all people aren't the same, but I think some people just have envy in their spirit.
Oh, now you're going to diagnose somebody's spirit. That's deep.
Not any deeper than what you're saying. People are different.
Yes, they are. I agree.
People are different.
I can't say different.
Well, I'll come at it from this aspect. You know, most so-called blacks, et cetera, have never really had much of anything coming up. And so when they see something, if it's an opportunity for them to get it, even if they have to take it from somebody so that they'll have, they will. I'm not saying that that's right. But even if you look at somebody like the Koch brothers, they've had everything that they've always ever wanted. But it's still not enough.
Brother Lowe, that sounds like stereotyping to me.
Okay, well.
Sure does.
It sounds like stereotyping, but you can see this in more than just people that have everything like the Koch brothers. You can even see this in, let's say, the local guy that has a local grocery store that's going to underbid and undercut all other stores so that he can have everybody coming to them.
Mr. Lowe, I can give you examples of when I was growing up where there was a local grocery store where the owner, because there was a hard economic times, gave the community the opportunity to buy things on credit. So how do you explain that?
That doesn't discount the fact that DNA and environment mixing together is an important factor. There have been plenty of people who have lynched plenty of people who go to church on Sundays, have good kids, so they think, but then they think, according to the word of God, they should go out and kill other people.
Well, thank you, Joe, for that, but I asked Lo a question. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to get an answer.
Ooh, you're the testy one, aren't you?
Well, I'm just being who I am, and you're being who you are. That's all. I did ask Brother Lo a question.
Repeat the question, please.
You were talking about the example of grocery store owner wanted to beat out another grocery store owner, which that's how capitalism works, right? Okay, then I gave an example of my own experience when I was growing up of having a grocery store in the community during hard economic times where the owner of the grocery store, who didn't look like us, offered all of the community an opportunity to buy things on credit without interest.
Okay.
On time.
Well, he knew that you would be coming back.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, any smart business person wants repeat business. But you were given an example of someone who was trying to get more from someone else at the expense of someone else. And I just gave you an example of someone who didn't come from that place. That's all.
Right.
Because I said you were stereotyping.
Does that mean that that particular person in some other instance? Won't be able to display what you're talking about, doing something at the expense of other people?
I'm sure it doesn't, Joe, and that wasn't the point I was trying to make.
Well, that's the point
I was
trying to make.
We're trying to answer a question, Joe. We're not just trying to, at least I'm not trying to debate for the sake of debating.
Yeah,
we're trying to delve down and to find a question, the answer to a question, what causes conflict?
There's only two things that cause human behavior. There's environment and DNA is always the nature versus the nurture argument.
But we have accepted your point of view, and we all have one, and two of us agree, and two of us disagree with you. Beasley agrees with you.
What else is there
Brother
besides...
Brother Lowe does.
But what else is there besides who you are and your environment? There's nothing
well,
else.
We are our environment.
There's nurture, there's nature. There's nothing else.
Well, I don't know about that because I don't know everything, but I
but
do agree with
you. Real, it's real simple if you stop trying to disagree.
I wasn't.
What
I was trying
there?
To agree with
what,
to give you a chance
there?
To
there,
my
there's
sentence.
Stuff that, there's the things that you do or the reasons that you feel the way that you feel because of what's built in you from birth, okay?
Well, then, I was responding to
you,
comments.
Would you let me finish the sentence today, please?
Yes, and don't yell at me again. Thank you. I
Listen,
was trying
you, you have a habit
your,
of raising your voice to people as well.
Joe, I wasn't asking you anything either.
Well, I'm putting it in because that's
well,
a fact.
You, as I was saying, Mr. Beasley, you said there is nothing else, and all I was saying was that I don't know everything. So thank you very much, gentlemen. Continue.
Eric, will you stop being the white knight?
I'm gonna take a deep breath. But you don't have to know everything to understand nature and nurture.
Oh.
That's real simple. If there's some other factors that make people do what they do, I'd like to hear them from anybody.
I'm not saying I know. I was making the point that I don't know. You were making an emphatic statement, Mr. Beasley, and all I was saying was
making an emphatic statement that covers a lot of things, and I'm only raising my voice with you because you didn't let me finish my sentence.
Well, you didn't let me finish mine either. We do that a lot. So let's put the white flag up and keep the conversation going in a nice way. I'm willing to do my part if you're willing to do yours.
You on some nasty stuff today, but it's okay.
Some what?
You seem to be kind of nasty today.
Like not at all. I'm in very
fighting.
Good mood.
All right, good.
I haven't caught that, Beasley.
I have, because she didn't put you on mute and raise your voice, raise her voice at you. Maybe that's
well,
why.
Well, you know,
she,
what can I say? We don't have to make it personal.
It's not personal at all. Even though you've been taking shots at me lately, I can handle it. I'm built for this. But
doesn't sound like you're built for it. Doesn't sound like you're built.
Well,
I'm just
observing
things
from always appearances can be deceiving, and so can sound. And
okay,
you're entitled to your opinion.
We all have opinions, and I welcome everyone's, and I don't care whether you agree with mine or not, vice versa. Let's just try to get to the question. We always make it personal.
What's the topic again so we can bite into that topic?
Yeah,
all the
motherfuckers, we can fight about that, too.
Yeah, instead of Beasley here, well, she's not being nice to me.
Oh, I know
yeah,
somebody wants to start a play.
I think it's better to keep on talking low and giving explanations when you don't even know what the hell the topic is.
Can we get back on it? I wanted
that's
to bring
right.
the topic.
Somebody
back
tell
up.
Low the topic so that.
Hey, well,
go ahead.
You know,
now, I muted everybody, damn it, because y'all are just getting carried away here. I'm trying to fix this sound issue, and y'all just are going crazy.
Oh, they just want to play with
all
my
right.
head. That's
no, we just doing what we do.
Yeah.
No, well, do
we
what kinda, you do and
we
get kinda, back on
we
topic. Kinda,
we
okay? kind of
like a, we kind of like a family. We don't hate each other.
Yeah,
we
well,
just,
get back on topic.
Get,
that's all I want you to do. Get back on topic.
Go ahead and
okay?
tell Lo. Go ahead and tell Lo what the topic is. All in the Kool-Aid doesn't even know the flavor.
I'm trying to fix the dang sound. Y'all acting crazy.
Oh,
the topic is spies among us. That's the topic, okay?
Yes.
Now
I will. Yeah. There
this,
are
this
now
is
my
good
co-host will take you to where we need to go.
Eric.
Yes, ma'am.
Eric, this is a good example
yes?
of why we have spies among us. The dynamic that you see going on right now between Mr. Beasley, myself, and Joe, and Brother Lowe.
That has something to do with spying?
Wow.
No, it doesn't have to do with spying.
Oh.
Remember, we were trying to get to the cause.
Oh, okay.
We were trying to ascertain the cause. And Brother Lowe brought up a good point about envy, and somebody brought up greed, and I say it's about power over others. That's what I think it is. You have the desire for one to be dominant over the other.
Ego.
Yeah, ego is involved. Gender is involved. Materialism is involved.
So are we going to talk about the spies, or are we going to talk about the cause?
We are talking about the spies, Joe.
You're talking about the spies now. Okay.
Yeah, we are talking about the spies, and the question was asked, what causes it? We don't want to just talk about the spies. Today, our purpose was to discuss the documentary that was aired on PBS called Mississippi Spies. As a matter of fact, how many of you saw the documentary? Anyone?
I did.
You say you did or you didn't? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
I did not.
You did not?
No.
How about you, Joe?
No.
Lowe? Brother Lowe, have you seen the documentary?
No, ma'am, I haven't.
Go ahead. Go ahead and comment on it anyway, Law.
No. Don't do that. Give me a little bit about it, then I'll give you a comment.
Okay. The documentary was about an organization that was
good to come here at 3 o'clock.
All right.
Ooh,
okay,
boy.
Y'all want to be assholes, so I'm gonna be one too.
No, we just.
That's all right.
Oh, God. Oh, man, just a little laugh.
Okay, Brother Lowe or somebody asked me to say a little bit about the documentary. The documentary was about spies used in Mississippi. There was in the 1950s and the 1960s, there was a state sovereignty commission created in the state of Mississippi, which evolved into a public relations agency and into a full-blown spy operation because the people of Mississippi at that time were concerned about the civil rights movement and they didn't want to lose their way of life, their power over another group. So it showed how people in the civil rights movement were used to bring information back to this organization called the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, which, by the way, was funded with federal funds. But the thing that I thought was very interesting about the documentary was at the end of the documentary, which I didn't watch the whole thing, I watched clips and I read about it, was what it did was try to make an effort to tie what happened in the past to what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about spies, we have TSA, you have NASA recording all of your phone calls and emails, so forth and so on. So there was a connection between the past and the future. I mean, the past and the present. Pardon me.
You don't even have to go that far talking about TSA and NASA. You can go and talk about Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton.
We know Jesse is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't know what Al is.
Al is there to get these people, in some instances, stirred. T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, they're there to get them stirred up on one hand and to calm them down on the other hand. So they are also there to be used as spies, if you will, to go over and say, hey, we know everything's up in an uproar and this and that and that and this, and we're going to just have to walk peaceably and this and that. And then they'll go right back to whomever is handling them and say, yes, sir, boss, they're going to be good now. All they're going to do is do a little walking and marching, just like with the Trayvon Martin instance. They did a little marching, talking, speech-making, and went back home and forgot about it.
I don't understand why people don't like Sharpton and Jackson for showing up. If he's a rabble-rouser and he's getting stuff done, he's getting publicity for a particular atrocity, I don't understand what's wrong with that.
Because they're profiteers.
He is only a profiteer.
They're proven profiteers.
Right. If he's not going to get anything out of it, he ain't coming.
You think he should do it for free?
Does he do it for free?
Jesus did.
No, he's not Jesus.
I know that, but I'm just but they're
I know
but
what you're
they're,
trying to
but,
say,
but they're the referenced thing. And they're supposed to be in the you know the and the funny thing, Joe, or the unfortunate thing is, Joe, is that neither of them really started off that way. Okay? I remember Jesse Jackson used to come to Los Angeles and they'd have a gathering of the high schools and they would bus us to hear his message. You know, and he would preach and he would be down with dope, up with hope. You know, I am somebody. And that was mm-hmm. in the late 70s. And Jesse Jackson has always been a voice, at least back then, when black people really didn't have a voice.
Well,
but over the years, let me finish. I'll be brief.
Go ahead.
But over the years, whatever happens to these folks, they seem to get corrupted into the system, where it's obvious that they're not interested in the welfare of the people that they're claiming to represent, and they're more interested in putting themselves in position.
Absolutely.
And continuing themselves, and that's that.
So that's why
people have, and also they are selected leaders for the black community. No one elected them. I don't know anyone that says that they follow them.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's elected them, so they can't. I don't think anybody can say they are or they aren't leaders. If somebody's following them, then they are leaders of those who follow them. But nobody's elected them, so that's true.
They don't have large followings. One thing is this. Those people, and it always has to be entertainers for us or a preacher or something. It's never a doctor or a teacher or somebody like that. It's always got to be a preacher or entertainer that's supposed to be our – matter of fact, why don't white America have – neighborhood leader. They don't have that. But we have to have somebody that was handpicked to come and speak for us about our needs and wants.
So that leads me
doesn't have that.
Top of the show. So
yes.
Mississippi Spy. So what
That's
can we learn from that? I'm sorry that you gentlemen didn't see the documentary. And I hope I was able to give you a little brief synopsis of what the whole thing was about. We can look at this from the perspective of woe unto us, poor me, we're victims, we're powerless, or we can look at this from the perspective, which we're trying to do, of what can we learn from it, like we started the show off. If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Well, they're doing everything they can to take slavery out of the school books, and they're changing the name of it to the transatlantic migration.
Well, they're also changing abortion to end life planning. So, what does that teach about the documentary and what we can learn about from history? We know that they use words and they play with words. They use words and they change words. Webster's dictionary was, I think the show just ended.
No, it didn't. I hear you.
There's a thing that dropped down that says you're not connected. Okay, Webster, I read, was engaged and took 10 years to write the English dictionary after Reconstruction to confound the English language so that the general population wouldn't understand the depth and meaning of words. So now you have to go pay hundreds of dollars to get a real good dictionary or study the, you know, etymology of words to understand the language. So that was done purposely. You don't stop a people from learning how to read and write for 250 years if you want to maintain power and control and then allow them to have an understanding of everything that's going on around them once you decide that you're going to so-called set them free. You agree or disagree?
Interesting point. Good point.
That was a great point.
That was a good point. Let me ask you about this documentary. This documentary speaks to people that black folks had infiltrated civil rights groups and then went back and reported to the power structure, white folks in Mississippi. Is that what it speaks to, spies?
Yes, the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission was formed for one reason. It was a you know, a public relations agency, but then it evolved into a full-fledged spy operation where they paid black people to infiltrate the civil rights movement and give them information about who was going to meetings. They were being followed, and there were thousands of pages of files kept on these people. And they even tied this commission to the death of Medgar Edgar.
Hmm. None of that surprises me.
Me either. So that's an all out conspiracy.
Yeah, none of that surprised me. That's always existed. Anytime there was any of the slave uprisings, when Denmark Vesey had planned his slave uprising, it never got off the ground because it was well organized. It never got off the ground because somebody told on him. And it was somebody that was from the inside.
Bro, and you got the preachers of today.
Right.
Yeah, of course. The preachers of today are just there to keep people foolish and sleep. That's all they're there for. I mean, and that's exactly what they're doing. And they're getting paid a bunch of money to do it.
And
a good
when
movie.
You, and
a
you've
good
got,
movie
you,
that I, hold on.
Go ahead.
A good movie I think everybody should see is called 10,000 Black Men Named George.
I've seen that. That's an excellent documentary.
About the
Pullman
Porters.
Oh, that must be about George Foreman.
Huh. Yes, I've seen that.
No, about the Pullman Porters.
Right, yeah,
yes.
That's good.
Very
that's
good,
good
movie.
Yeah,
and
good.
And the one man that was going back telling everything was a guy that was the oldest man that was associated with the movement that said, that man gave me a job from slavery. I mean, he was good to me. I don't understand what it's so, why y'all have any problems anyway. You know, to sum it all up, the one guy that his wife was there fighting for him and doing all of this stuff in secrecy and trying to get them better wages and better conditions to be to work under, he was the one that was going back telling that man everything.
So that's a good point, Brother Lowe. And once again, that brings us back to the question. What is the cause? What can we learn? We can cite many different times in history. You can talk about the Garvey movement. You can talk about the civil rights movement. You can go all the way back in the Bible to Babylon, I'm sure. Rome, wherever, right? And we can find examples of this happening throughout history. But what is the purpose of watching a documentary like this and then not asking, why does it continue? And, you know, what is the cause?
All right, so what do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't want to say what I think it is.
When one group has power over another group, and that power is so dominant, and few selected people, and I'm not just talking about this as far as black and white here in America in the history, but you could look all throughout history. But when one group has dominant power, when you've got a power structure and they allow certain members of the lesser group to have benefits and privileges, that lesser the people that are selected from that lesser group their allegiance is going to be to their master or to the person that allows them, you know, the benefits. I've seen this happen on jobs. I've seen this happen on jobs.
Well,
where
that's
people,
good...
I've seen it happen on jobs where we got together a sales force and said, hey, some of these things are going on. It's not cool. We know the commissions could better. This could be better. We shouldn't be getting charged back for this. And we're going to do this. This is going to be our plan of action. And somebody went back and told them.
Beasley, I don't want to interrupt.
Go ahead. I'm finished.
Well, I think you made a very good point, and you can go all the way back and count many different examples in history. But thinking in terms of the history here in this country, let's look at after Reconstruction. Remember, it was black people that had all the skills because they did all the work. But then after Reconstruction, the general population had to, and I know I'm generalizing, there's a lot of other people had to work and farm to take care of themselves, but I'm talking about as far as the division of the haves and the have-nots, right? So then after Reconstruction, you know, when the general masses had to go to work, the powers that be recognized that because back in slavery times that there were different people coming together to fight against their oppression, and they wanted to separate them, so they gave some people a little bit a raise up, you see. So what you described, I think, is the same thing that you just described.
Right.
Power. So that brings me to the point. I'm sorry if I'm not being clear. That brings me to the point where let's look at who has the power, and are the people that give the orders responsible for the condition that the world is in, or is it the order followers that are responsible for conflict, confusion, and war? Is it the people that take follow the orders, or they give the orders that are more responsible?
I think it's the power structure that's responsible. They create the whole scenario.
But do they? But they do the action though. Do they do the act?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
It's both.
Say that again.
If somebody, if the Rothschilds issue an order and nobody follows the order, then
you're
the Rothschilds are.
I asked you. Excuse me, please. Mr. Beasley said something, and I was responding.
No, I'm trying to understand your question. Joe understood.
I know,
question.
But Joe started talking, and I didn't get a chance.
Well,
to
let him answer it because I didn't understand it.
Nah, forget it. And Goni, I'm going to tell you something now. You're a lousy co-host. You are an obnoxious
woman.
Thank
you very much, Joe.
Man, get off my co-host. What's wrong with you? God dang it. Oh, man. Anyway. Good Lord. Wow, that's crazy. All right, let me bring Maze in. She's been listening, so I know she probably has something. She probably can answer the question. Maze, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Maze.
I really can't answer the question when you ask the question is snitches amongst us. That's why you never move, because you got a snitch in there getting paid in order to go back to the mayor, go back to the governor, and whenever you have a meeting, they run and tell him, and before your meeting is over, he knew everything that happened in it.
Hmm.
And how you break it, you put them out and put them on Front Street and let everybody know who they are after you give them the deal, the wrong thing to take. I mean, it's been done before. Because we had one amongst us, and the thing that we did was doing for a school, and we knew who the snitch was, so we gave him something to run back to the mayor with. But it wasn't our plan; it was a plan that wasn't. It had nothing to do with it, just to show who he was.
You fed him a red herring. You let him carry back some bullshit.
And he was so upset, but it went off like a charm.
That's a good one. That's what I would
do. So that's
do.
How you get rid of. You ever seen the group who stood behind
the door?
You
know who they are.
Yes.
Yeah,
put them on Front Street.
There's nothing like feeding somebody some false information.
Yep.
That's a very good Miss Maze. But how do we answer the question that along historical lines for thousands of years it keeps on happening? I mean, when they had the Mau Mau in Kenya, they used to kill people, you know what I'm saying, that they didn't trust to follow what they were their revolution that they were trying to do, but it doesn't stop anything. It's still going on.
That's why some people in some countries cut heads off and hands off because of doing things like that.
Yeah.
But does that stop anything?
Yeah. It'll stop the next one that want to go do it. And that's if they know that's the consequence behind
it.
And not just in this country, but in other countries they do.
Well, see, don't you think, though, if one won't do it, there's always someone that's willing because of the programming that goes on a daily basis or behind the scenes?
But as an example, it's like when Romney was having a conversation and the person took the whole thing and put it out and everybody knew what they were saying. But they still never knew who the person was until he told them.
That's 47% when he gave his 47% speech to that small little group in Florida. Or what about the time when Jesse Jackson was talking to a reporter off the record, this is years ago, and he started talking about those Jaimes in New York.
Uh-huh. You just have them, they just get paid.
Crucified them for it.
In the chat room, Galactic Scientist said, black people only gather for death. They don't gather to save lives. That's why it's always good mourning, because blacks love to mourn. Huh. Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, that is interesting. But as long as you have a attitude, not you, I mean, I'm speaking in general, as long as there's the idea that in order for somebody to win, somebody's got to lose, and the survival of the fittest, and if you find a fool, bump his head, and all of that, then I don't think there's any hope for anything to ever change.
Ooh.
Yeah, now there we go. There we go. Okay, since I hate to say this, you know, because we seem like we can't come to a definitive answer as far as what causes it, right? We can, so for some reason we can't get there.
We're hitting on a lot of points that do cause this, though.
It's money. For some, it's money. They get paid.
Well, that's
to make sure things don't change.
That's the temptation they use, Maze, to get the people to follow the orders to do the dirty work. But is that the real cause?
That's what power does.
Well, no,
dirty
that's
money.
Not...
Some people will do anything.
Yeah, but why? Why is that?
Look at a plantation, for instance. Okay, let's take a plantation and the structure of a plantation. And if you're sleeping on a dirt floor, and you're eating pig ears and whatever else they get to eat. And if you gave some information, and I don't know that I would do it. I'd probably be happy eating the pig ears on the floor and being down with the people, but. If you had you got a taste of some of that ham and slept on a wood floor with a fireplace in it, you know, people will look out for themselves.
Well,
can you imagine at the bottom of any society or any group when resources are real scarce, and I'm talking about basic resources. The way people fight for them and the resentment that must be built up within these people.
Well, that brings me to the point to bring out the fact that remember I said the documentary linked what was going on back then in the 1950s and 60s to what's going on today. So can you see the division in society today where they've already shipped out the jobs to other countries, but yet there's a upswing in opportunities to be in work in FEMA camps, TSA, police, anybody that is going to follow orders. So now you got people that are willing to do jobs in the airport, filling people up so they can get paid. So they've basically divided society in half. Those who are willing to do that work, to follow those orders, and ask no questions about the right or wrong of it, see? So isn't that just dividing the whole society in between those with the guns and those without any power to respond?
Well, hasn't it always been like that?
Well, that's not the point, Mr. Barry. We're trying to get down to a question. I mean, answer.
Well, let me put it.
Hold on.
Galactic Scientist in the chat room put something I found interesting. If I can get it back now, what happened to it? Hate it when it jumps like that. The cause is human fallibility. Humans are weak, plain and simple. Dispense with all the rhetoric. Given the right circumstances, many will compromise their principles to gain something.
And I'll tell you
why. No one is
right
and no one's wrong. It is what it is, depending on the person given the circumstance or situation.
Pop out. That's a cop-out and a justification.
And that's why I say I have politicians that are friends that are politicians, and I wouldn't want to be one because I know the things that they do, and I wouldn't want to be in their places.
That's a cop-out.
They sit
high
and look low, and the things that they do in order to pretend that they're working for you and they're working against you at all times just for the dirty money.
See, solipsism is ideology.
When they finish with them, they throw them out. And then when they throw them out, they commit the crime. That's how they doing.
Hey, my co-host is trying to talk.
You were
talking.
Oh, excuse me.
No, I didn't know you weren't finished. Whoever
go
was
ahead,
go ahead, Tony. Wait. But thank you, Eric. Were you done, Miss Mays, with your thought?
Yes. My fact.
Okay. I'm sorry. What you said made me think about something. There's something called solipsism. And what it is an ideology that says there is no objective right or wrong. And that's being perpetuated in this society through what they call the New Age movement, where they believe, they're telling people that if you just think positive thoughts and, you know, that you're not supposed to look at anything that's wrong because you'll draw that to you if you look at what's wrong. So therefore, they're saying mm-hmm. that there's nothing you can do about anything, so just be happy and depending on your circumstances, whatever is right for you is right for you, regardless of how it affects somebody else. That's what solipsism is. So I think the cause of this is ideas that rule the world that we're taught. You see, it's not our nature, it's our condition that we're really talking about. But we're taught mm-hmm. that it's human nature. And to say that there's no right or wrong, oh, that's a scary idea, I think.
Well, there is right and wrong, but it varies from person to person.
Hmm.
Well, it varies from person to person, and it varies from culture to culture. There are some cultures, I read about an anthropologist that studied a tribe in Africa, where if they stole something from somebody else, they had a celebration. That person was held in high esteem. So values are not universal. I agree with you 100%, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're not universal. So the idea that there's no right or wrong, can we examine that idea? But somebody said there is right or wrong. I don't know who said it, but I believe there's a right and wrong too.
Well, our society that we live in, there's right and wrong. Now, as far as what's morally right and wrong, that might be debatable. But there are statutes, there are laws that you know if you cross those laws that there's punishment.
But see, now you're bringing in the idea that the state has a right to have power over others. They have the right to use
state,
force.
But Ngonye, you're very philosophical about things, but at the same time, and I appreciate that, but at the same time, you have to take reality into consideration.
Well, that's an insult, because I am taking reality into consideration.
It's not intended as an insult. It's not intended as an insult.
I know,
it's not intended as an insult. Let me say this. I don't know the purpose of questioning whether the state has the right or the authority. That's the way things are, and that's the way things have. I don't see the purpose. I don't really see the purpose in questioning that. And I mean, unless you just want to be philosophical about everything all the time, there's some things that I'll be brief. I'm not going to go on. But there's some things about life and the way the world is that I just accept. Now I can wax poetically about them, but I don't know what purpose that serves. And maybe that's just the difference between me and you.
Okay, I respect that. But let me ask you this question. Do you agree that everything starts from the thought, the mind? Everything we see around us came from a thought. Do we agree on that? I'm not saying it to be wrong.
I can buy into that.
Okay, so now. Hey, wait a minute, please. Okay, I'm just trying to get a basis. You say I'm just being philosophical, and you're saying that you don't see the reason for that, and I'm just trying to express that if you don't think about things, you can't change anything. So, see, what you said to me gives me the idea, and I could be wrong, but it gives me the idea you've taken the position that there's nothing we can do, the state exists, it's the way it is. Why should we bother to think about it? Why should we bother to question anything? That's solipsism. See? It's just the way it is, so then life goes on.
Well, you're painting me to an extreme.
I'm not trying to paint you. I said correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay, well correct me.
Because
I'm here to learn.
There's a middle ground there, okay?
Are you going to get on the fence?
No, see, there's a middle ground.
You
know, well, And it's okay. And it's okay to mess with me. Just allow me to mess with you. That's
you
all.
Do all the time.
Not
see, girl, I take.
Maybe it's my nature. I mess.
We
you
can
know.
Do it in good faith.
Hold on.
We do these things. But hold on. I'll say this real quick. You know, questioning whether the state should and should not do this, or should have the authority to enact laws. I mean, it exists. Oh, she's exasperating. She's making.
No, I'm waiting for you to finish because I want to respond.
I'm gonna have to think on this a little bit further before I comment. I'm gonna go ahead and relinquish the floor to someone else.
Well, Mr. Beasley, let me
just
say this. I'll be brief. I don't want to hog the conversation.
All right, you're challenging me. I appreciate that.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I respect everybody's right to think whatever they think. I just wanted to respond to what you just said. You said, why are you questioning the right for the state to be able to enact laws? I believe that we do have rules in society, and that's fine. I'm not against having rules and order in society. But the question about the state is, see, it comes down to one thing. Either you believe that certain people should be allowed to have authority and power over others, and then other people are not allowed to have any power. And that's what you have in the world today. You have powerless people, and you have states that are organized to use force against the people that have no power. So therefore, you have wars, and you have laws, but they are not all just laws, because you have people sitting in prison that have not injured anyone. They're in prison for 5 years because they had a marijuana cigarette, but there's no injured party. So that's
or because,
where I'm
coming. Or because they had an opinion, or because they offended someone, or because they
nowadays,
spoke out.
Yeah.
I watched a documentary yesterday about the Hordorsky, who was the Russian billionaire who became a billionaire, and Putin ended up putting him in prison.
Well,
taking his oil company, and it was and what it came down to was over some personal tete-a-tete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? Wow. What do you think about the fact that if they were in Pittsburgh, I believe, and there was a protest, and they brought out sound cannons, and some people are now permanently deaf because they wanted to voice their opinion about something. That's right here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear you.
What do you think about the incident?
I'm joking with you. You said they were deaf. I asked you to repeat that because I couldn't hear you.
Oh, okay. No, I said they are now permanently deaf.
Are you ticklish?
The question is,
I can't get you to laugh enough.
Wait a minute, Mr. Beasley. The question is, do you think the state should have that kind of power to impose on...
Oh, hell no.
Well, see, we agree on something.
Well, hold on. Let me bring somebody else in.
I got a man.
Ready, driver? All right. Area code 845. Welcome to the show. Area code 845. Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. Oh, there you go. You had a lot of fuzz on your line there. It's off now. I find your conversation quite interesting. I've been here before, and... you know, I understand where the lady's coming from, and I understand where you're coming from. But you got to realize that human beings have acquired more problems, I'd say at least in the last 20 years. And it seems that the more laws that are being made to try to solve the problems, more and more people just are not, like, waiting enough time to bide the time to see if problems are being solved. They're just creating more problems, usually because of one thing. It's called malice, M-A-L-I-C-E. And when people hold things against someone, and wish them bad luck, things of this sort. That's a bad thing. Malice, I think 99.999% of human beings on Earth now have malice. And they've got to get rid of that malice. And I think you'll start to see some problems being cleared up over time. You know, if it took 50 years, 60 years to make a problem, it may take another 60 years to clear up the problem, because human beings are not doing a good job in clearing problems up. What do you say to that?
You sound like a wise elder. Are you an elder?
No, I'm elderly.
What kind of problems are you talking about?
I'm talking basically about human relationships. It seems that human beings are trying to find a way to solve the problems, but the problems are so ingrained, especially between nation to nation. They're still run by human beings. I don't care what nation you're from. You got human beings in charge. Now, if you happen to have a lot of malice in your heart, you're going to pass those thoughts on to other people.
Well, not necessarily.
Through laws, and when laws are made, people may not like what the law is, but it came about because of what people do.
No, can I ask you another question? Some people want to kill, steal, and destroy. War. Kill, steal, and destroy. Steal other people's belongings and take it and call it their own. That's malice, too. If they left other people's stuff alone, you wouldn't have to worry about other nations being upset with people trying to steal, kill, and destroy what belonged to them.
Well, you know, why are there so many...
We'll have a peaceful world.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, why are there so many nations? I mean, look at our states, our United States. You got Detroit going bankrupt.
And so is New Jersey, because of the same thing happened in Detroit. We see in New Jersey now, the way it was ran by the governor, but it was put on the mayor.
Well, you mean...
Look at the suburbs of Michigan. Yeah,
with Camden,
same thing happened. That's malice, too.
Will be coming up next is something that a lot of people don't like, especially legislators and politicians, is annexing. Countries were formed because they split off. A certain portion of a country didn't like what was going on. You can look at Yugoslavia as a good example. They all felt that Yugoslavia, Serbia, and that other country, who were all part of Yugoslavia once.
Like the gerrymander and stuff like that over in America, where you can't vote in the district that you're in because they moved the place.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, we can actually
we understand
annex states, we can annex cities, we can annex counties.
Redlining, anything else.
Yes, something has to give, but human beings looks like they're not able to solve the problems. They try. They do a lot of talking in meetings, and a lot of paperwork is shuffled between sessions, and it's a shame. It's mostly talk and really no action. It's because people are the ones that are trying to solve the problems. It isn't working. They had to just let the Lord Jesus Christ handle these problems and allow him to solve them, because humans cannot solve the problems. There's more problems today than there were 100 years ago because of technology, because of industrialization. Now we're in a new age with a different kind of energy. The same energy Jesus Christ had is now in charge. Darkness lost the battle, but you still have
a lot of
leaders that are filled
with
darkness.
I didn't hear you use the darkness lost the battle.
Say again?
What did you say, lost the battle?
Who?
Did you say darkness lost the battle?
They did. Darkness
Whatever. That's what you say. Now, darkness lost the battle. Who's losing the battle now? I guess lightness is losing now.
Well, no.
We're seeing lightness lose the battle of something that you shouldn't have never been into in the beginning.
It's
so now
called
they're going crazy.
Energy. yes,
issue, we understand.
Aqua energy. But you are seeing the remnants of darkness trying to hold on,
mm-hmm.
especially in the educational and financial areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But look what happens in 3 to 4 years. It's going to amaze you what takes place. And that's because of Jesus Christ here on earth. And the same thing's going on in other planets. But things are changing. We now have
the because the planet is turning brown, so I guess that's what is happening.
Yeah, and aqua energy now is taking its time. It doesn't rush because there's no time in space. Only humans make time.
What's going to happen in 3 or 4 years?
You're going to see
the world
will
be brown.
Hold on.
It's right now. I don't know if you all are paying attention to the news. But
we just all got our head in the sand here. Yeah, we're all smart people.
We're in the lightness, so we don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, we definitely in the light.
Now. Listen to this. 32 people died in December 2013, and much more have died since from the bubonic plague. So when these people in Madagascar starts loading the airplanes, the jetliners, and bring them to the United States. Well, pneumonic plague, I don't know if you know what that is. It's a lung disease, and when you speak and you cough, you spread it. And the weaker ones are going to get hit the most, and they're going to die. Well, black plague is, when it's spread to people, the fleas jump on people and bite them.
You are just so much fun. Did you know that?
What I'm saying
in disguise.
Diseases are going to start affecting humans all over the world first.
And
then the financial collapse will take place. I say 3 to 4 years. Some people say less. Now
they're going to have lice. Lice is going to be falling
I'm
off the
saying
heads of
this
people.
Now.
That's what's going to be
I'm
happening. Not
now.
Fleas.
Yeah.
Lice is going to be falling off the heads of people.
Lice ticks.
But certain people don't have lice. Certain people do. Like
you're
going
to blame it all
right,
on Obama.
Yeah. It's just
that
Obama's
fault.
It's just that
Jesus
Christ here on earth is in
we
charge.
Understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesus Christ on earth is
now
in charge.
Tell us what we don't know.
But consciousness is in charge of everything. I mean, the entire universe is. At the 9 universes, he runs the entire show. And then you have the archangels. Then you have the angels, and it comes down to the entities that cause diseases and things like that inside your body. But right now, light is in charge, darkness is running for cover, and those in the cabal are trying to still run the show, and they're losing. They're losing the battle. And pretty soon... Most of the cabal will be exposed. You're going to find out who they are. And you won't like it, but things will get better. Much better.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Is this Robert?
Yes, it is.
Hello? Is this? Oh, thank you, Robert, for that wonderful information. All right. Well, we got, everybody, we got 9 minutes left in the show. So if you want to call in, 347-838-8622. I don't know how long we'll be going in overtime, but we will be going into overtime. Today we got off on all kinds of sheets of music, and I don't think we ever really approached anything we were trying to approach today. Wouldn't you agree there, co-host?
Well, I think
we... Or did we just skim the surface?
We took a lane down to try to find out what causes, people to turn on other people when we were talking about the spy documentary. And we went to several places, but, that's what we always do. So, it's a big topic, and it's a big topic. And since they hadn't seen the documentary, perhaps if we had put the link in the night before and people had a chance to see the documentary, then maybe we'd have been able to stay closer to the topic. It's kind of hard to talk about a documentary that people haven't seen.
True that, true that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well.
But the idea was to talk about history, the importance of history, why we have the examples in the documentary of people working against other people in the service of their own selfish interests. And some people say that that's just human nature, but I say it's human condition, not human nature. Now, I said before, and people think I'm crazy, but that's fine with me, because in a world like this, I don't want to be normal, okay? Because I think if you're normal in this world, something wrong with you, okay? But I think that human beings were created perfect. We have the potential for perfection, but we are in a condition that we have been put in because of those powers that are in control of this planet. Now, I didn't agree with everything Robert said because, as I said, I'm not religious, but I do subscribe to a higher power, and a lot of what Robert said resonated with me because I am one that people think is, you know, which that's fine too, we say philosophical and full of hope and naive, but no, I think humanity is getting ready to take a great leap, and I think we're going to be forced to, and I think there are powers in the universe that cause humanity's evolution. Now, I have one question for Robert, and that is, if it is Jesus that is the cause of that, why do we have a brain? Are we supposed to use our brain or what? Are we supposed to sit and wait for somebody to fall out of the sky and, you know, let all these things keep going on until somebody falls down out of the sky with a sword and they're going to clean up everything? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anyone's religion. I'm really not. Robert.
Hello. Hello.
Is Robert there?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hold on.
May
I got
him muted. Oh, yeah.
Hello?
I was asking.
Okay.
Let me say
go ahead,
this.
Robert.
Okay. Jesus is only a God of Earth. He's not God of another planet. He is only a God, one of the gods. I mean, the Indians have their gods. I mean, the Indians from India. Then you have the Confucius God and a Buddhist God, and you have this God and that God. They're only the gods. As long as they have worshipers, they're gods. As soon as the worshiping of them go away, they lose their power.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that wasn't my question. I don't need you to explain to me who Jesus is. My question is, are we humans just supposed to sit back and wait for some God to come and change the world as it is? Because I don't subscribe to the idea that human nature is bad. I think we were created in perfection, but our condition is bad.
All right, let me say this to answer your question.
Hello, can I speak?
You came into this world. You've been on this world many times and on other planets many times. Each time you come to the Earth, your spirit has already planned out basically your destiny. So you're living through a destiny. When a person gets shot, it's because he shot someone in the past, okay? Because consciousness is in charge, and consciousness is the creator. So he created everything. And
okay.
Hello.
Well, see, that makes sense in Jesus Christ to me.
Am I still on?
But anyway, Maze is, she's just about to explode. Maze wants to say something.
Yes, I am. Angel Drew ain't saying nothing that I want to hear because that's who it is. And he's sitting here and take over the show with his ignorance and all of this darkness and the rocks and all
yes,
of this.
It is.
And nobody knows
spook.
I told you, I know a spook when I see one and I hear
she
one.
Says that's
that
Jew.
You have to be careful. When you have to have an ear for people like that.
You say that's the Jew?
Yes, that's who that is.
I got an ear for
never
him. I got an ear for him, but I couldn't pick it up. I couldn't pick it up in his voice.
Okay.
Mace,
you know, it's not his voice that tells me what he is. That's a spook that's sitting
there. Well, if it's a Jew, whatever. Okay, go ahead, Maze.
That's why he didn't say nothing. Didn't convince me of nothing. It's hard to do. That's why
so, Maze, you just discovered a spy? Is that what you did?
I thought that was a spook. Yep, sitting by the door.
I believe it.
Robert still there?
Yes. Let me ask you this question. How many worshipers does Zeus have?
Huh?
How many worshipers does Zeus have?
Yeah, Zeus. You might be right, Dave.
The Greek god.
No, Zeus has, well, let me answer that question. Zeus has 2,345,869 followers, worshipers, as of 12 o'clock today, Pacific Standard Time.
Okay. There were gods in the past that no longer have followers. They lost their power. Jesus was sent here on a mission. He regenerated himself and showed himself to his disciples. And he said, don't touch me yet. I haven't ascended to the Father. So what he was trying to tell everyone is, you can do the same thing he did. He tells you, you can do the same thing he did. He tells you that in the Bible. And even more. And you could do more. But he's still the God of the earth, not of another planet or the universe.
I think Maze is right.
Just think and listen for a little while.
No, you don't.
That's how he enters. He wants the floor by himself so he can just speak all of this ignorant stuff off the top of his head and think he's going to believe it. You can fool me some of the time, but not all the time.
Have you ever heard?
Allah Rugba.
Right.
That's what I want to say to you.
All right. Hold on. You can bring somebody else in.
He said a bug is going to come from Madagascar.
111.
Oh, guys.
Yeah.
111.
Yes.
I would like to say to Robert. Robert, can you hear me?
Oh, he can hear you.
All right, Robert, your intelligence is a little too high for them. They don't understand, but you speak truth.
That's his brother.
That's right. Can the caller tell us what's going to happen in the next 3 to 4 years since Robert was new?
Tell us what's going to happen when the 400 years is up.
He said they're going to come over here from Madagascar with the fleas and the ticks, and it's going to give everybody the plague. Now, that could happen, but he don't know that it's going to happen any more than you and I do. Oh, boy.
Well, all righty then. That was interesting.
Can't change the conversation.
Yeah, it probably just killed the conversation.
Well.
Y'all know what? That's all good. Tomorrow is what, y'all? Freedom Friday? Yeah, we're going to have some fun on Freedom Friday. We're going to loosen it up a little bit so we can have us some fun. But y'all know what?
I need to get up out of here. Now I can't stop laughing thinking about this dude.
I'm sure you can. All right, so Maze, you got any final words, Maze?
I say I can tell the spook behind the door anytime I hear one.
Uh-huh.
I have an ear for it. All I got to say.
All right.
You had a good show yesterday, too.
Thank you.
So you stepped in with that ignorant stuff you had today.
I got an ear for it, too, but I was following this one down the rabbit hole.
Go ahead, Beasley. Your final words.
No, I appreciate where Sister Ngonya comes from, where she's coming from. It's just that... I guess I just conditioned my mind to think too much in the here and now and what's in front of me, and that I might I've conditioned myself because I've got responsibilities, I've got bills I got to pay, I've got things that I've got to do, and it's hard to think so far outside the box and be philosophical about things. There's some things I just have to accept the way they are because that's the way that they are. And that's that. I mean, so when I disagree with her strongly, it's just the way that my mind is conditioned to work. That doesn't mean that she's wrong for being able to think like that. I just have a hard time going down those paths of pondering, you know, such big philosophical questions. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Beasley. And we'll see you tomorrow. All right. Well, co-host, anything you want to add to all of what has been said today?
Well, I just want to say to Mr. Beasley that I can respect what he just said. And, yes, I worked for 35 years, and I have time to sit around and wonder about all these things, you know. So I can really relate to where he's coming from. When you got to work every day, try to keep the sandwich, you know, and dinner on the table and lights on, you don't have time to you know, ponder about these things. And I respect that because for most of my life I didn't either. I enjoyed the conversation today. I don't know if that was due or not, but Mays had me wondering there for a minute. But some of what he was saying I was interested in because I've studied things about that. You know, I don't know about it, but just been exposed to those kind of ideas as far as where we are, you know, and how consciousness affects us, you know, that we're moving through the galaxy, that we cross the photon belt where the highest light in the universe is. The sun affects our consciousness, that we've crossed galactic center and that we're moving through the Milky Way galaxy now. And the earth is changing and our consciousness is always changing. And I do subscribe to the idea of reincarnation. So whether that was due or not, I can go along with some of that. Now, you know, I don't know it, but I'm interested in it. I'll put it that way. I don't think we really discussed it from the perspective that you and I talked about earlier, but I already covered that. They didn't see the documentary, so, you know. I hope you're not disappointed, Mr. Talk. You said you was leaving your own show confused, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what? That just means we just going to have to attack it all over again, you know? That's all. Oh. Yeah, we just try to do it again another date. Hopefully everybody goes to watch the documentary. You know, on PBS, y'all, Spies of Mississippi. Hey, go and check it out. It's a good documentary. Let's see, tomorrow is Freedom Friday, where we recap everything that we talked about this week, and we may start something new. Who knows? It's basically open conversation. Bring what you want to talk about, and if you want to, you know, just keep going. If not, we'll change and go somewhere else. But I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Open mic, Yolanda Blocker, We All Need Jesus. Hey, first time, thank y'all for joining us. And everybody on the switchboards, hey, thank you also. And, of course, you know, my chat room coordinator, Antoinette. Hey, stay safe out there, darling, because I know it's cold and miserable where you are. Fiber Truth by Benny. East Coast, Scientist, Granny Ganja, hey, thank y'all all. Thank y'all for your support. I do apologize for the technical difficulties earlier, but that was beyond my control. I did everything I could to get it back up, and hopefully the sound did come back up. So that's going to do it for me today. And for my beautiful co-host, y'all have a good one. If you want to comment on the show, send us a comment or what have you. Just send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com or stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And you can message me here on Blog Talk Radio. So just go to the page and drop a message. And that's about it, y'all. So I'll see y'all tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, and 1 Mountain Time. It's been a ball, but I got to go. Talk to y'all tomorrow. We are out of here. When
when she